You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hello. Right, so Everything is Workable is back from sabbatical, and also I am no longer in Australia. I'm back in Canada temporarily. I'm going to be moving around quite a bit again, being very nomadic these days. I want to begin by saying thank you. I want to thank everyone who was able to back my crowdfunding campaign that I was doing in May 2016, for those listening to this in the future. Your support as a patron was absolutely essential in this whole project becoming a success. I'm really, really grateful for every single contribution, financial and otherwise. I really want to emphasize how important it was for people to be sharing the link, to be retweeting it, posting it on Facebook, liking it whenever I put it up. That was also immensely helpful. Crowdfunding, it's a gamble. There are just absolutely no guarantees. It's completely reliant on the public valuing and then supporting an idea. A person can do all the work that they want, and I certainly did a lot of work for this, but it wouldn't have amounted to anything if not for the generosity of others. So thank you. Genuinely, entirely, truly, I really appreciate everyone who was able to back the campaign, who shared links, who forwarded emails, because it means that you want to see me succeed as a writer and that you're willing and able to contribute to that in whatever way worked for you, whatever capacity you could. So thank you. I cannot express how grateful I am. Doing this crowdfunding campaign has meant that both generosity and gratitude have been on my mind a lot over the past few weeks, really. I've been contemplating things like what it means to be generous, what it means to be grateful, and also how we give and receive graciously. I've got a lot of different pockets of discussion running through my mind right now, so to make it easier to unpack the questions that I've been asking, the contemplations that I've been having, I figure that we should probably make sure we're all on the same page as far as the definitions go. I know that it's really easy to assume that we know what something like generosity is, or we know what gratitude is, and that we know what they look like, but assuming makes an ass of you and me, so let's not do that, especially in a world where I think most of us have pretty strong expectations about the behavior of others, and having those expectations will definitely influence how we define these words. So I'm going to go for dictionary definitions just as a base level understanding. Language evolves over time, and everyone has personal experiences of these things, so how we define them can be really personal, which is why I'm bringing it back and going to look at something quite general. So I looked up generosity, and it's defined as a virtue of not being tied down by concerns about one's possessions. I'm going to admit, this definition surprised me. I thought generosity would be described as something about giving or providing to others. And yet this definition is actually bang on to what I've come to understand generosity as being. Defining generosity as being about giving things to people would be a distortion, because generosity isn't about what we do for others, but our approach to what we have. Like, how we think about what we have, and how we think about it will determine whether or not we cling to it or we're able to offer it. Effectively, a generous person lacks poverty mentality. Or rather, when we're able to be generous, it's because we don't have poverty mentality about whatever it is that we're giving. So I don't really want to turn this into a black and white dualistic thing, generous people, non-generous people. When we don't have poverty mentality, we don't worry about having enough because we're not concerned with ownership. We're recognizing the abundance of resources that we might have to offer. And then we do so without any expectation, simply because we wouldn't see offering whatever it is that we're offering as creating a deficit for ourselves. So whatever resource that's being offered, be it money, time, energy, a particular skill, whatever, we're not seeing that as like a negative where we're going to be depleting something that we have. I know that the way that other people define generosity for themselves has made it very challenging at times for me to express gratitude authentically, because I can find myself sometimes trying to meet an idea that I think they might have about what gratitude should look like. So capitalism determines a lot of our interactions around giving and receiving. And the result is that we can think that if we're going to be giving something, we also must be getting something in return. Something that would match the value that we perceive what we've just given to have. So effectively, we expect a reward. We see it as an exchange. And that's a really stingy approach to generosity. And that's why defining these words is so important, because gracious or genuine generosity is done for its own sake, not for what you can get in return. Some people at this point will probably argue about there being no genuinely altruistic acts, because even when we do something for its own sake, out of kindness or compassion or whatever it is, we'll still feel good about it. So we're getting a good feeling, even if that person receiving doesn't thank us or something like that. So a few things on this point. One, I find it kind of amusing that anyone would argue that there's something wrong with feeling good about helping others. I mean, okay, you feel good about it. What are you supposed to feel, neutral about it or bad about it? That doesn't seem very helpful or effective. And two, if we're really honest about it, how often can you genuinely say that feeling good about giving something you have to offer to someone is enough for you? Because that's the whole point of being generous, genuinely, and with grace. It's that you truly don't need that person to even say thank you, because for you, it's satisfaction enough to be able to offer or provide something, something that you have that is available, because you don't have an attachment to it. You're not valuing it by what you can get in return. You can just see the value of offering it, how offering it can be of benefit to someone else. The definition goes on to say that generosity leads to charity and forgiveness. I've come to understand that forgiveness is something that we do for ourselves. We can forgive someone without ever having received an apology. There's an unfortunate belief that forgiveness equates to absolving someone of wrongdoing. But forgiveness isn't about saying it was okay for someone to harm us. It's about keeping our heart open to someone despite their harmful behavior. And yes, it's totally an act of generosity to forgive. It doesn't matter if the person has apologized. And same goes for apologizing. If we apologize graciously, also an act of generosity, then it doesn't matter if the person forgives us. If we've genuinely acknowledged our wrongdoing and are apologizing as a way of ensuring we won't repeat harmful behavior, then the apology is truly of benefit, because it means that we're acknowledging our behavior and setting an intention not to repeat it in the future. I have actually done a whole episode on this in season one. If you're interested in exploring forgiveness a bit more, it goes into more detail of it, but it just fit a little bit into this, what I was talking about. I've digressed, as I do. The thing about this approach to generosity is that it's something done without expectation. If we do feel all warm and glowy inside as a result of giving, it's because the act of giving was all we needed, regardless of how the recipient responds. It's about genuinely wanting to offer our resources, because we can see that our resources are not actually ours. Something that we have, or we have access to, isn't something to be possessed, but something to be shared. Holding on to anything really tightly, saying it's ours, makes us fearful. And that's what leads to possessiveness and poverty mentality, or entitlement even. Like, if I give you this, then I am entitled to you giving me something back. But when we're generous according to this definition of our attitude towards our possessions, then we're very gracious about it. We don't have an expectation about how people should respond. We don't expect anything. We are genuinely giving for its own sake. And such graciousness and generosity makes it that much easier for the recipient to practice the same kind of authentic, gracious gratitude. Which brings me to the next definition. Gratitude is defined as the quality of being thankful, ready to show appreciation for and to return kindness. You'll notice that it doesn't say gratitude is responding in kind to an act of generosity. It's not groveling. It's not repayment of service, like a tit-for-tat contract. It's a quality. It's expression of appreciation. And that can come in many forms. If one is thankful out of fear or obligation, it's not genuine, and is definitely not gracious. Whatever was being offered probably wasn't being offered wholeheartedly. I think it's very important to examine the relationship that we have with generosity and with gratitude. Being honest about these things isn't always comfortable, but we can't work with what we do not see. Doing a crowdfunding campaign has definitely forced me to examine my definitions of and approach to both generosity and gratitude. I've generally always thought that I'm pretty good at expressing gratitude, and I've definitely always considered myself to be a really generous person. But I've come to see how easy it is to slip into the not enough mentality, which is why it's really important what I said at the beginning about it's not being about generous people versus not generous people. It's about having a generous attitude versus not having a generous attitude. I have never really made bucketloads of money. My 11 years of working have largely been in the not-for-profit charity sector, and that is a sector that doesn't pay very well. When I was living in the UK, even with all my budgeting and planning and financial savvy, and trust me, I live well beneath my means, I rarely had more than £100 spare each month, if that. And I never thought that not treating a friend to dinner or buying them a gift for their birthday or something as not being generous, because I simply didn't have enough to do so. And it's true, but there's another layer to it. It wasn't just that I didn't have the money. It's that I would carry around, and I do carry around a lot of fear about not having enough money, which means that when I would get a bonus or when money wasn't quite so tight one month, my instinct was just to like squirrel it away into a savings account, hold on to it. Saving is not problematic. I'm not saying that. And investments are great. I'm totally all about investing. I encourage it if you can. Also, it's important to make regular payments on debt. None of those things make us stingy. It's all about the attitude you're holding at the time. An attitude can be temporary. You know, it's very emotive. And it can be really problematic. Currently, I'd say that a steady income of $50,000 to $60,000 a year, Canadian, would be enough for me. I'd be comfortable in that for the rest of my life. I'd be able to pay off my debt really easily. I'd be able to save just enough kind of for future projects, and as well as covering things like rent and food and bills, maybe going on a few retreats or a holiday once a year. Plus, being able to make regular contributions to causes that are important to me, or to treat friends to something like dinner, right? Anything over and above that would be more than enough. But if I have a stingy mentality, a fearful approach to what I have or don't have, what's enough can quickly change. And we see this. This mentality is why people set up offshore accounts to find loopholes to avoid paying taxes. Not enough mentality is toxic, and it makes both giving and receiving challenging. Admitting that we can have this frame of mind is really hard, but it also means that for me, anyway, I can gain a greater understanding of why someone with a lot of wealth will go to so many lengths to protect it. In short, it helps me to have some compassion for that 1%. The problem with this need to protect what we have implies that there is a lack of abundance. And the way that the world is set up, unfortunately, it does seem like there's a lack of abundance. But there isn't. It's just being hoarded because of this mentality. When we think that there isn't enough for ourselves, we assume that the pie is always limited. And then, rather than working with people, being kind and helpful and generous, we start to compete against them because we want our piece of the pie. And it's not just financial, although that's probably the most predominant example in our world today because capitalism. We can get stuck in the not enough mentality around a lot of different stuff, like our time or our energy, or social things like how many jobs are available, how many houses are there, how much land is there. Suddenly, acts of generosity, which could make us feel open-hearted, interconnected, appreciative of what we have and our ability to offer it, will start to feel really terrible, even painful. And then we turn generosity into a contract. I'll be generous, but only if you're thankful enough. For the recipient, the interaction is really dreadful. It's hard to accept someone's generosity when it isn't offered graciously. And we will pick up on it. We'll have a sense of owing something to someone, being beholden to someone. I don't know about you, but that is not a comfortable feeling to have. And it's not a feeling I want someone else to have should I choose to be generous, should I choose to give them something of what I have available, what is abundant to me. Knowing how it feels to receive something from someone, but also have an expectation of expressing my gratitude according to their standards, really just makes me wish that they hadn't given me anything at all. Being aware of all of this, thinking about all of this, I strive to address any mentality that I have around feeling like I don't have enough, because I would really hate to cause anyone to feel beholden to me. And I'm sure that I have in the past. We all have. It's very human. But going forward, it's something that I want to make a conscious effort not to perpetuate. Of course, we can't change how other people think or feel about how we express our gratitude or about what we are offering. But we can ensure that when we express gratitude, we're doing it from a place of genuine appreciation. And that when we're being generous, we're doing it from a place of wanting to be of benefit. Here's something else interesting in this whole thread, which I hope hasn't been too convoluted. When we learn to appreciate and then express that appreciation, we'll start to notice how often people don't realize that they're being generous. For example, you go out for tea or something, or coffee, right, with a friend. Maybe you've had something on your chest for some time, something that's been stressing you out, and they just sit there and they listen to you. Maybe they ask a few questions that show that they really want to understand where you're coming from. They don't necessarily offer solutions unless you've asked them and said, yeah, let's adventure for solutions together. And then they also pay for the drinks at the end of it. And you thank them. You tell them that you really appreciate it. You notice just how nice it feels to be listened to and to be able to express that to someone. And maybe you convey that in some way. For them, the cost of the drinks was insignificant. And sitting listening to you was easy. They love you. They're your friend, and they want what's best for you. It took no effort because you weren't demanding anything, and they got to enjoy your company and enjoy a nice cup of coffee and maybe contribute a little bit to your happiness. So, in short, gracious generosity is effortless, and gracious gratitude is spontaneous. This week, I invite you to look at how you define both generosity and gratitude. How often you're gracious in both. What does that graciousness look like for you? What are the benefits of this as a practice? It's something that I'm pretty sure you'll feel the benefits of almost right away. It invites growth, trust, collaboration, and it also makes us see, or start to see, just how much we have, and that there is enough, always, if we're willing to share it, if we're willing to put it out there with abundance, with joy, with the aim of benefiting others and contributing to the overall well-being of the world. You may think that it sounds a bit flaky, but honestly, if more people had this attitude and approach and understanding of generosity, then we would see that there is an abundance and there would be a greater distribution of that. And the only way that we can make that change is for us to address our own attitudes towards what we have and how we cling to that and how we kind of possess it, rather than seeing it as something that should be and could be shared. Basically, the problem isn't that there is a lack of resources. The problem is in distribution. We can accumulate all we want in our lifetime, but we can't take anything with us when we die, and time is finite for each individual. The greatest way to see the benefit of what we have, or what we think of as what we have, is to use it, share it, spread it around, and then show gratitude when someone chooses to do that by accepting it graciously. Basically, our approach to generosity and gratitude is all about cultivating kindness. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.